have a prayer and then we will spend some time looking at the book of James. Father, we are grateful for your grace and your mercy and your love, and thankful, Father, for the family at Neely's Bend. Thankful for each person in this room. But Father, we ask for those who were unable to be here today, that you bless to be with them. Some of them are struggling with their health. I think about Sister Stacy. I think about Don and others. And I pray for both that they'll make a good recovery. I pray that the experience at Vanco will strengthen his leg and he'll be able to move about and to be back with us very soon. Father, we thank you for all the good doctors, nurses, and the health care, the rehab, things that some of us growing up never dreamed of. And now what they have available and how they can rehab and put us back in our feet again and help us to be mobile and to move around and many cases go back to living a normal life. Father, thank you for Neely's Bend and for the family here, for the spirit that prevails. I pray you'll bless us. As we go into the spring of the year, Father, I pray that we'll have a great spirit of enthusiasm and evangelism to reach out to our Jerusalem. And Father, bless us and give us insight and help us to get into the homes of many that need you. Know that we love you. Thank you for loving us. In the name of Jesus we pray, and amen. All right, if you want to open your Bible, book of James, chapter number 1, we're going to read a few verses there, and then we're going over to James chapter 3 and read a little bit. These two kind of go together. We're going to spend more of our time talking about having an understanding of the Word of God, what's wisdom all about, and basically that's what we're looking at this morning, the aspect of wisdom in the life of a Christian. In the 5th verse, and I've jumped through some verses here, we'll go back next week probably and catch up on that, but beginning in the 5th verse of the first chapter of James, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Doubt and do without. I had written in my Bible there. And I think that's reasonably appropriate. If you'll turn over to the 3rd chapter now of the book of James, and the 13th verse, I want to read to you a little bit. He says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of wisdom, and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now, a little later on, there is a passage in Proverbs chapter 11:30 said, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And when I read this, I think about Proverbs 11:30, and if I read or say to myself Proverbs 11:30, I think of this, the 18th verse here in the book of James, chapter 3. Well, a need to look at trials and temptation with a positive attitude, seeing that those difficulties could be an opportunity to put our faith to a test. Have you ever had your faith tested? Now you think about that, the testing of your faith. Now I want you to think, faith, the power of faith, and what faith is all about. I have faith that there is a God, He's alive, He's well, He gives me the air I breathe. He's put this sunshine in the sky today. He gives each of us opportunity to move around. Most all of us have a sound mind, easy to comprehend and to grasp the Word of God. You're here because you have faith in God. You love the Lord. And faith is a very important aspect in the life of a Christian. But there's another word that I really want us to consider. And that was the word used three times in the wisdom that is from above there in James, the third chapter. He uses that three times. Once in the middle is a negative, but then the other two are of a positive from my viewpoint when you think about wisdom. The wisdom that is from above. What is wisdom? What does the word wisdom actually mean? Well, wisdom, written down here, is broad and full of intellect. To have wisdom, a full knowledge, to be steadfast, to be mature, the Christian life, Paul mentions three times, and we're going to read those verses in just a few minutes, beginning in the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. He has these three prayers, and he talks about and lays groundwork for what James has said here. In fact, let's just turn over and begin in the book of Ephesians, if you want to turn over, Galatians, Ephesians. And we will look, from verse 17. We'll read a few verses there. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceedingly great of the power to usward who believe, according to the work of His mighty power. Now that's what is said in Ephesians. If we turn over now to Philippians, the next book, and look in chapter 1 there, and verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere. That word sincere, I mean, based upon something I heard many years ago, someone say, and you'll smile about this, always be sincere, even if you got to fake it. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? There are those who fake. Now that's hard to believe, sincerity. You know, I want to be sincere. And they do. Listen, I'm fixing to go to the prison here in a few minutes. There'll be a lot of those same folks sitting right out there. They'll be just as sincere. But there's a lot of fake right there in that sincerity. They'll want something. They'll say, I need a Bible. And I'll say, well, I gave you one last time. Oh, well, listen, I gave that to someone. Oh, okay. Sincere. I mean, they want to be genuine, want to be real, but it's very hard because they've never been in the element of always being truthful, always being upfront, always trying to be sincere. Okay, let's look in Ephesians here. Let's look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. Now let's read one more over in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, and looking at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto the pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto the practice and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in light. wisdom. Well, what does the word wisdom actually mean? Well, as we stated a little earlier, it's about all knowledge. It's about full intellect. It's about prayer. It's about steadfastness and maturity in the Christian life. To go to the Father in prayer, in sincereness, in genuineness, when we pray and we communicate with the God of heaven, whether it be the first thing every morning, whether it be during the course of a day, whether it be someone's home you're in or visiting, and that you pray with that individual in a genuine way and asking God for wisdom in those that you may see and you may come in contact with. Give me wisdom and insight in our conversation that I say and do those things that will, number one, comfort, encourage, point them to the Lord. You say all of that? Yeah. This morning, to visit with some folks and to talk with them briefly. You try to say things that will encourage them, that will be helpful to them, to let them know, hey, you have not been forgotten. There are people who pray for you. In a few minutes, I'll have a church paper. I do presently, but at that time didn't. And I said, you look on the back, and there will be a list of folks that we can go to the God of heaven in prayer, asking God's blessing on them. Not everybody do we know what the need is, but God knows that need. And we just have to address that matter in a way of prayer to say, hey, God. And we'll look at an opportunity later on in the lesson in regard to the wisdom of Solomon. Paul's three prayers that we've already read and mentioned. God is always pleased when we ask for wisdom. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever just take the word wisdom within old and new and go through the Word of God looking at wisdom? James uses it very frequently in here, the wisdom. And I think each of us, if you're a parent for sure, if you have opportunity to go into a setting where there is a very serious illness or someone's been involved in a bad accident, that we look for wisdom in how to speak appropriately and words that we can use that will comfort and hold up folks. And then if asked to pray many times, men especially, would you pray with me to know how to word that prayer and how to speak the prayer? A lot of times I feel pretty helpless and I say, God, you know needs before I ever expressed. I don't know how to pray. I don't know exactly what to ask for right here, but you know exactly what it takes, and I trust in you and have great confidence in you. You know, you think about that father-son relationship or vice versa. There comes that time, how do you address an issue? How do you talk with your father? How do you talk with your mother in issues of life? You look for some wisdom, some insight in how you do it. And by and large, what our goal is in life is to please Him and to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Well, how do you recognize wisdom? How do you recognize wisdom? How does wisdom really come to us? Generally, when we're visiting with people or we're sitting around talking, someone will express maybe something they've gone through with their children, maybe with their father and mother, maybe with a neighbor, and they share with you, and if you listen closely, you may have a similar situation happen to you in a present or down the road sometime. And you can remember with wisdom those things that would be appropriate to use and to say and to be helpful. And certainly the Word of God, wisdom is above all. Now I'm going to jump ahead. There was a man that God honored and he became the king after his father David, and that was Solomon. And what did Solomon ask for? God said, hey, I'm going to grant you. What did you want, huh?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. He asked for wisdom. Now, I have no doubt that if you have children, if you have parents, you have family, there have been times that you've asked for wisdom in regard to speaking to your family about issues in life. I need wisdom. What do I do here? How do I deal with this? Now, I don't know, and I don't say that I just pick on myself, and not that I'm anybody, but I am somebody. But there came a time, you know, I need a little wisdom here. I had an opportunity to leave DuPont, which I was thankful for. I wasn't particularly happy there anyway, and that's another story. But anyway, after 8 years, that opportunity presented itself. Been praying about that. Well, there was Florence, Alabama, and there was Tulsa, Oklahoma. What do? You have the opportunity. You've been invited to serve in evangelism either place. Well, Oklahoma, man, that's 640 miles out there, and that's all the way across Arkansas, and that's the first handicap, going across Arkansas. If you're going to go across Arkansas, do it at night, because there's not anything much to see as you go along except rice on both sides of the road. But I'm being very serious. We come to those places in life, and there are people right now outside this building that maybe have opportunity and to look at employment. It appears that we're starting to pick up momentum right now. And there are opportunities out there. Somebody may have two opportunities. Do they just make the decision, or do they go to the Father in prayer and ask for wisdom, which would be the better for me? A lot of just thankful for the opportunity to have something, but it is always the best. And so we go to the Father in prayer and we ask God to help us and to chart us through. Would you recognize wisdom? We talk about older people, I do, in regard to the wisdom they have and the insight that they have. And I can name several people that I've been blessed to grow up with, and many of you would know. And you see their wisdom, you see their insight. You have teachers in school, and I look back and I see the wisdom of teachers that I had in school. I see their insight. And so that's something that we would like to have ourselves. Deeds are done first through humility, but after humility is an area of wisdom that we gain through sometimes humility in how we behave and how we do and how we recognize those deeds that we can do. There is godly wisdom, and then there is the wisdom of the world. And a lot of people look at the wisdom of the world versus very little toward godly wisdom. And reading from God's Word and seeing what God's Word has to say about wisdom in our life. James puts a lot of it there. There are other illustrations that we'll share in just a little bit here. Well, how do we receive wisdom from God? Do you ever pray, God, give me wisdom, give me insight? I have an opportunity. It goes back to where I said, here's two opportunities now. You've been looking for an opportunity to serve and to work. Which one do I get? Which one do I do? Which one? Do you pray about it? Do you ask for wisdom? Do you need insight into it? How do you go about doing those things? Well, if we ask God, He gives generously to those who ask. Now, I really want you to think about it. He gives to us. But do we actually grasp that sometimes? Here's the opportunity. I think there's been times that all of us look back and say, boy, I wished I hadn't walked by that door. I wished I'd have walked into that door. I wished I had done that. I wished I had been more attentive about things. I've heard those in public prayer when they pray, and I thought this was interesting, just reflecting, that when they pray, many of them would say, Lord, if there be sin in my life, if there be some reason that this prayer wouldn't be heard, I want to be a clean vessel when I talk to you on behalf of the congregation. And that wasn't unusual when I was in my younger years and going with my dad places and to hear elders and brothers in the church get up and pray like that. If there be anything in my life, Father, that would hinder this prayer, would you please remove that? You know, you think about the wisdom there, wanting to be clean and right before God the Father in leading of a prayer, even though you've already accepted the opportunity. You want to be right by it. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Are you spiritual? Well, I want to think I am. Do we grow in spirituality? Is a part of that spirituality wisdom and insight? What about our conscience? Do we have a good conscience, a conscience that can sense and know? I think we all do. If you grew up in a Christian home, there was an element of a sincerity and a conscience there. Your conscience would bring you under conviction sometimes. And sometimes it was mama or it was daddy that would bring you under conviction sometimes, huh? Yeah. Because of their wisdom and their insight. In times that you'd want to do something and the wisdom of your parents would say, that's not a good one to do. And so for this reason, well, why? Norman, I said you couldn't. Case closed. Okay. Well, you say, well, he should have told you. God doesn't always tell us. He just says the door's open. You go through that door. You pray about that. Maybe that's a good door of opportunity. Maybe it's a bad door of opportunity. Sometimes we seek counsel in things like that. But think about your faith, unwavering faith. God's wisdom through prayer. Do you ever pray for wisdom? Do you ever ask, God, give me wisdom in regard to these issues in my life or this issue in my life? That I make good choices, right choices. Must believe and not doubt. He said what? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Double-minded. And we see people like that. Maybe here we are in a church building and you see these folks, they live this way, do this way, they get out, and here it is. They've gone back to another way. I mean, it's just interesting. I'll never forget, back in this day, I was at a reunion one time, and I'll never forget being a little urchin running around and prowling and everything there at this little farm and everything. There was a lady on the back porch, and she had got away from the crowd because she needed to take a smoke. And she had just inhaled that cigarette when I came around the corner, and I looked up at her, and she immediately put that hand behind her, and I said, hey, and she said, I knew up here, I'll just see how long she can hold that. That was the urchin. That was the meanness, you know. And finally, you know, I got a little soft and I looked off. When I looked back, she was going like that, trying to fan it away. Now, was that good or bad? Well, I never did see her smoke anymore in front of me, but anyway, she didn't know I was coming. But you see, in each of us, there are those things that we will do that can be a little testy or obnoxious or inappropriate, maybe. Regardless whether it be right or wrong, if she chewed tobacco or dipped snuff, who you know, that's between them. That's theirs. That's not mine. Well, we ask many times with the wrong motive. With Jesus, everything is possible. Everything is possible. Mark chapter 19, 14 through 24, it is the boy with the unclean spirit there. And then 24, the 24th verse, Believe. Help me overcome my unbelief, Lord. Help me get through this. And you read that passage and you see what took place there, and you see the process that God uses in His wisdom in regard to this. God gives wisdom direct through the answer of prayer many times. Now, there's been times that you and I have prayed, I need wisdom. If you have children, there have been times, especially with my children, I've said, God, I need wisdom right here. Do I keep a tight hand on the rein, or do I just relax and not be so demanding and have such expectations? And then there are those times that I just really felt pressed to find out about my children, to make sure about my children. I had a right and a left hand. I've told this before. One of them was as compliant and as sweet and as good, and the other one was, I guess, a lot like me, because my mother used to say, you're paying for your raising right now, son. And that's right. You think about that. And I mean, she'd push you right up there to the line, just right here. And you had to really stay with that. And we had our little encounters. And I can remember one, and I've told it before, but I can still hear that in my ear. I said, you know, one day we're going to be tight, just like she. Yeah, right. You think so. And you know what? We are. We really are. She's my go-to, and I'm her go-to. I mean, really and truly there. And back then, would I ever believe that? It would have been a strong test of wisdom there. And you wondered, did I do right as a parent following through? Well, I found out later, it worked out. So, thank goodness. God gives wisdom through the Scripture. In reading the Word of God, we draw wisdom from this. And there is a lot of wisdom there for each and every one of them. It is important that we study the Word of God. God's truth in the Bible has great wisdom that can be placed within our hearts, within the mind here, connecting, and we can have that insight. We cannot do ourselves without the help of the Word of God and without brothers and sisters in the Lord. God gives it through experience. A man, here's a little saying I wrote down. Someone has said that a man begins cutting his wisdom teeth the first time that he bites off more than he can chew. Now you think about that. You know, a lot of times in life we bite off more than we can actually chew, don't we? And so we gain wisdom. The greatest learning experiences have come through the difficulties of life and working through those difficulties. Well, let me share this. Many of you know it by heart, but King Solomon, when he became the king, he and the Lord had conversation. And it was ask whatever you want, give you. Rather than asking for wealth or health or victory over his enemies, you know what he asked for? A discerning heart. He wanted that discerning heart. That's what he wanted. A heart that could discern right, wrong, what's good. And he was tested. That test came. Because if you remember the story of the two ladies that had children and one of those children died, the mother rolled over on, I don't know exactly how it unfolded, but that one child died and the other mother said, this is mine, back for it. Like, and they came to Solomon. And he, with the wisdom that he had asked, that God gave him, said, well, just let this one. And that mother said, no, let her have it. The real mother. It's a good story when you read and look at that and go back into and see that story. It's one I even remember from Sunday school days. I probably didn't tell exactly what like it was then. But the wisdom that we can gain by listening and being around folks. Well, I've got one last challenge here I want you to think about. And this may not do with wisdom. It may do with wisdom. But I've been thinking this week as I've ridden around in the car various places, how many lies do you see, Norman? And I guess what made me think of that was Claude Darish years ago, and I've told this story over and over again, but it really impressed me because it made me all of a sudden look at myself. And it was the invitation. Claude had served as a deacon. He had wandered from the Lord. He had lived out in the world. And that night, he was there for that meeting. And when that invitation was sung, I'm sitting over here and he's there. And we start singing a song, "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I Freely Give." And I was just singing away. And he came out and he walked down and sat down on that pew right there. And about that time it dawned on me. What about you, Norman? It wasn't about surrendering Claude. Sure, I wanted to see him restored and back in good faith with God Almighty, but the song said, "All to Jesus, I surrender." You know, sometimes we sing those kinds of songs, and they're personal songs in our life, but we sing them for somebody else. What about me as a vessel? What about insight into my own life? We sing the song, "God will take care of you." Sing that really believing God will take care of us. But we want to take care of us right now, don't we? We want things to happen now. We want wisdom now. But you see, we have to pray. We have to lay before God those things that we want in life. And if God said He'll take care of you, He will. And when you read the stories, old and new, and see what God Almighty did and the power of God and the things that He can do, and yet sometimes we say, "I'll take care of it myself." And I've just wondered many times in the selection of songs that I sit there and sing songs and remember that night that I was surrendering somebody else and not me. And I probably needed to just step forward and come down, sit with him, if nothing more than to encourage him, and then even ask, "Why don't you pray for me too while you're praying for Claude? Because we want to work together and serve together." He hadn't really done anything to me other than he just wandered away. And many times we've got those who've wandered away, and we need to encourage them. And we need, "God, give me wisdom if I call or if I go see that I can help this individual." So when I read James, I see something that addresses a vast majority of people in this world and within the church. And I think it's a great little book here. It may not be one that I appreciate sometimes because I look at there and I say, hey, the 17th verse, three times from 13 to 17, that word wisdom, once in a negative, but the latter part, "But the wisdom that is from above is first, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Wisdom. Well, let's have a prayer. Father, we are thankful for Your grace and mercy and love. And yet, Father, we're just human vessels. And we look at Your Word and we come under conviction and we want to live right and do right. But there is that other force out there. And that is the power of the devil. And he has great power. And he can lead us astray. But give each of us courage and faith and conviction to withstand the devil and his forces, and give us power to really hang on and cling to the Word of God and to God Himself, and help us to live right and do right. In Jesus' name, and amen.